Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. People are asking, who's this girl on the thumbnail? She's Linda Yaccarino, the CEO of Twitter, named by Musk. And they are going on an interesting quest to do a lawsuit against advertisers. And it's weird, as New Guy points out, suing advertisers in a free market. Pay me to advertise for you. I guess he has a collusion case, but boy, oh boy, does it sound odd. Yeah, it is a very weird case, but here's the thing, New Guy. We are not in a free market anymore. The free market is gone. The free market stopped the day you had to welcome black people in your restaurant. Period. That was the end of the free market, and I think it's a very interesting play what Elon Musk is doing, because if you abandon the idea that you're in a free market, then companies are compelled basically to spend in non-discriminatory ways. And yes, these companies getting together and having a central hub that says advertising on X is bad, advertising on Facebook is good. That's responsible advertising. And what defines responsible is ultimately free speech. And so in the end, you have a collusion of a cartel that decides based on political opinion where they will send their money. Now, the traditional philosophy on this, free thinkers, free markets, free libertarian style thinking, is of course you can decide not to buy ads from someone because of their political views. Or else, what are you telling me, that the Mars chocolate bar company must fund racism, must fund far-right beliefs? But here's the thing, under the law, I think they have to. if you have to make cakes for gay people, and I know that the make my cake bigot case has not won, but it has not won on a technicality. In reality, the discrimination element has not been addressed by the Supreme Court. So I think that you have to at least welcome a gay person in your restaurant. The cake is a special case because the cake artist is being asked to write gay marriage on the cake. So that's an act of artistic expression. But when chocolate bars from Mars are being advertised by Facebook, is the thing that's beside it an act of artistic expression? I don't think so. And so it's not, if I do a racist tweet and chocolate bars Mars puts an ad beside it, that it's not, people know that my tweet is my tweet and that the advertisement is an advertisement. So it's a big bullshit thing that the leftists have pulled in scaring companies by saying, hey, if we find your ad beside controversial content, we're going to take a clip of it. We're going to even create artificial conditions so that it appears to show beside controversial content, and we will associate you with this content. Now, there's questions of freedom. There's questions of freedom of association here that may play in the balance, but you don't have the freedom of association when you have to welcome a black person in your restaurant and you're a racist. You're a racist chef. So we have already denied freedom of association to regular business people across the US. In that context, perhaps there is a legal entitlement to advertisement money if you're a big platform that offers this service. Today I was working on my game. Here's a video of some projectiles. So I'm working on projectiles. I don't want just rockets and guns and hammers. I want the ability to shoot something and it explodes on the location. So here I have a poison ball that I'm shooting, and I was working on collision detection with the ground. Poison ball. Now, as the poison ball touches any block, and it's a dynamic universe. It's a dynamic universe, so you have to compute as it moves. When the poison ball touches the ground, poof, I have a half sphere here. I was working on my sphere equations. 15 blocks of radius. R to the square equals x to the square plus y to the square plus z to the square. The three dimensions squared. That is what gives you a half ball. Boom. You have these beautiful sites of explosion. Now, that's just my mathematical check that I wanted to be sure that I was mastering correctly the positioning of the explosion site. Eventually, my goal is this half sphere will project down toward the ground and there will be poison on the ground. And your character will be like, oh, he's going to lose HP by the minute standing in the poison, and he's going to walk slowly also. So that is... So basically, you have to create a half sphere and half ball. And then from these points of projections, you have to ray cast and detect the ground and decide, because you want the explosion to happen if the ground is slopey or if it's like this or if there are blocks pretty much anywhere. So a half sphere, project down, find each of the block, put poison on them. New guy says big bouncy rounded. So for now, I have the collision detection with the ground, the mathematics of the half ball, and the projections of shadows onto the cubes, and eventually there will be a green gas effect. Barnaby Buto says, not too sloppy, though. Yeah, the fact that it's a half ball makes it so that if the extremes can get out of the ball, and if the extremes get out of the ball, then there will not be poison on those cubes, because you don't want poison to appear at the top of a mountain if you shot at the bottom of the mountain. Rodilacid says, it might be a free market, but how free is it? If one company pressures another, like if you advertise on Twitter, we will stop providing you with this service, kind of like some mafia pressuring someone to buy one product rather than another. Absolutely. So there are serious questions where even if you were to accept the free market premise, is it really freedom? Because it seems that Elon, as for his legal case, he has good arguments that there was intimidation, that basically these companies are saying, if we're going to wreck you if you don't listen to us, if we find one company that doesn't buy our, that doesn't get into our cartel, we will come back at you and we can show to the public what you're advertising with. We can create a scandal around it. Now that becomes extortion. That becomes absolutely extortion as part of a cartel, and it's what antitrust laws have been designed to abolish. This is so funny because there's a girl who came out and who claims she was raped by Alex Pereira, the UFC champion. But people are so desensitized to rape accusations that people they're editing her video in epic ways to show Alex Pereira as an epic guy. Oh my god, he raped her in the ass. That's how desensitized Me Too has made us. She's there telling her story while crying and no one gives a shit. There was just too much lies. To any woman who has a rape story, I would say the public space is not the place to adjudicate on this. So either you call the police and you go through a legal case, or we can't help you. It's just what it is. Because look at what they did with this girl.
But I was nervous, so I couldn't. So he did it, and he put it in my ass.
Shama!
But I was nervous, so I couldn't. So he did it, and he put it in my ass.
Shama!
Love me, whatever, that, I don't know. Do me a- Because here's the thing. It seems like she was his girlfriend. So she says she was nervous. He put it in her ass. Is this a consensual relationship with a misunderstanding? It's not necessarily a rape. And we just can't anymore listen to women on the public space because there's just too many of them who try to elevate themselves, escalate the social ladder with their allegations, and it's just over. At this point, you know, back 8 years ago, you were to come to a JF live stream to hear this. Now the normies are doing their clips to laugh at it. So I think there's evolution there, and I think it's good because we can't on the basis of allegation elevate you to a star or give you importance or even believe your allegations, because there would be too much defamation. We have the presumption of innocence. The presumption of innocence is reverted if you go through the legal process. That is the only way. It has to be the only way. John Drake says, the time is coming where people will record everything they say and do. I could see a little rabbit buddy following you everywhere, including the bedroom. Absolutely. I mean, basically, I'm almost there. I have cameras across my home. At some point, it's going to become so much trouble that it's worth it to plan in advance. We have here a juicy Lucy pepperoni burger, a monstrosity of cuisine. Let's have a look at what that is.
Juicy Lucy pepperoni extra cheesy garlic butter burger, baby.
So we got cheese in the burger. Pepperoni juice, pepperoni slices, cheese over it. We got some burger breads dipped in whatever that is. Is this artichoke juice or pineapple juice? The bread are put with cheese in between each of the bread. Bread are smashed. Some salt on the bread. A finish of pepperoni slices on the burger. They put this in the oven. A fresh branch of basil. Listen, it doesn't look super practical as a burger. I would probably take a bite. I would probably take a slice with a fork and a knife. But it's way too gigantic. It's pushed to the limits of physics. You know, let's not forget that the goal of a burger is that you can hold it in your hand and eat it. This one, I'm not sure. I don't think it will be holdable after 5 bites. Kamala Harris has declared her running mate, Tim Walz. What is there to talk about here? Nabarius has sent $25. Thank you so much. He says, hey, Jeff, I got a new job that pays well, but I feel guilty because it's a job inside the system. In fact, it's a social program in the public sector. The way I see it, they would have hired someone. At least the salary is going to be a based right winger. Is this fair or am I self-deluded? No, it's totally fair. You have to put yourself in these places to exploit the system, or else, as you say, it's going to be someone else, and in fact, they might abuse their authority. So, be out there, use social welfare, government employment, use all these tricks, because if you leave it to the enemy, it makes everyone's lives worse, because now, not only do we lose money to a leftist, that person is voting in a leftist way, they're ruining society even more. It's totally fine that the money goes to you, and I'm happy for you. I'm happy you got this job. I know about these jobs in social programs. I've seen friends, have these, like, oh, okay, you will be supervising the COVID vaccine distribution among disadvantaged communities in northern Canada. I know these jobs. They are ridiculous jobs. Just take it and take the money and do do your best so that your program doesn't become an instance of government attacks onto people's rights. If you have a little bit of discretion, you can pull the government and deactivate its most evil ways. Whereas if I put an LGBT activist in your position, can you imagine the kind of abuses she could do? You know, when she faces a case with a white man and she hates him inside and she wants to readjust equality and she wants to put her own weight in the balance of equality. She will deny something to a white man, accept it to another. Just these little acts of discretion, you can certainly improve the governmental service with your work. So no, there's no shame to be had. The fact is the government is taking over the free market, and eventually, we're almost there where you have to be either connected to the government in your employment, or you're going to have a job in the private sector that is basically forced by governmental law. Who has jobs in the private sector? Electricians? The government forces you to have electricity in all homes. And it forces you to have a license of plumber to do plumbing and a license of electrician to have electrician. Basically, all of the employment is government control in some ways. So you don't fight against this system by letting them run with the money. You go take your share of the pie and you do better than they would have. Rodilison says, suck as much from the system as you can, or else they will just use it for the wrong reasons, just like taking money from Epstein. If you don't take it, someone else will. At least you can use it to buy a nice computer and GPU. Will be better than something bad. Exactly. That's exactly the mentality with which I took the Epstein money. Consider this, Naberius. Your little governmental job. I'm sure it's not as dirty. I'm sure it doesn't feel as dirty inside as taking money from Jeff Epstein. So I've done worse than you, Naberius. I went to the evil side and I said, give me some of that. Definitely take it from the government. Low Mercury Tuna had sent a super chat on entropy. He said, unpopular opinion, murdering one's own children should be legal. If your genes are so shit, you're murdering your own children, we should remove your genes from the pool. Well, you've already done it yourself, so the problem fixed itself. Meaning here, a parent who would have killed their children would have gotten rid of their own genes. It's a logic that can be applied in libertarian thinking philosophically. The thing is, the imposition of any law will have some breaching. Like, any law in the end farms the wrong genes into society. When we make a law against murder, we are leading to a population that will be less capable of avoiding murder themselves. When we make a law against theft, we are leading to people caring less about their security systems and being therefore more likely to be the victim of theft. So any law you do is always kind of an invasion of rights in a way that is not biologically sound. Personally, I still think that some degree of laws is good. Personally, I think murder is definitely wrong. So, and it's like, of course, our society articulates it as the individual. In your articulation, you are seeing the genes of the parents killing themselves. But our society has decided, and I think it's a good ground, our society has decided that there is no parent-to-child continuum in the identity, at least, of the victim. That is, a child is considered a different being with his own rights. And I think that's fine. I think no child would want to be murdered. I think it's relatively safe to say this. So let's arrest the child murderers. John Drake says, entering a ground war in Iran will certainly speed up the process. he's talking to new guy. Yes, there is escalation in the Middle East. For now, it's just Iranian threats, which is always what it's been. Iran always makes big threats. They never deliver. And in this case, I don't think they have an interest in delivering a massive response to Israel. Because any sort of successful massive attack will just be used to further the funding of the Israeli regime by the US. I think Iran is in a sweet spot right now. I don't think they should attack Israel at all. Now, I know normally if you get attacked militarily, and Iran has gotten two of its Hezbollah directors killed, like big leaders and everything, and has gotten constantly bombarded across the years for all their locations in Lebanon and other countries. Normally, you want to reply, but in this case, it's a very special case. If I was Iran, I would do nothing. I would do nothing. Because your enemy has potentially an infinite flow of money from the US, but the US winds are turning. We have Kamala potentially at the head of the US. We have basically leftists winning in the US, and they have won by throwing the cold shower onto the Israeli regime. Now, a Kamala would totally be able to help Israel and even to join in a war against Iran. And if Iran was to give the excuse for it, she might do it. But if Iran stays peaceful, if Iran does nothing, because the punishment that Iran can impose on Israel is not super big. It's going to be a couple of rockets. They're going to land chaotically across Israel. They're going to kill random civilians, maybe, maybe not, maybe just buildings. That's what typically Iranian rockets do. So it's like you don't have something to deliver a true punishment, but the punishment could be time. And time is on the side of Iran right now, because you have a whole generation rising in the US that is extremely sensitive to the question of Israel. And in 20 years from now, you'll be in a better spot than you are right now. That is certain. Iran will be in a better spot in 20 years from now. So you don't have the interest in precipitating anything. New guy says Iran has accurate missiles. Well, we see the missiles on video demonstrations. I agree with you. They have a lot of equipment. But we have yet to see them deployed in a functional way, in a way that really hurts, in a way that really destroys something important, like in a way that massively could hurt Israel, given the Iron Dome, given the air defense, given all of this. Now, it's Iran's choice. I don't think they have to listen to me. But it's like, why would you why would you create a situation where there is a popular reversal of the current trend? Because you know the Israelis are specialists of propaganda. So if you do kill a couple of civilian women or children, they're gonna run with it in the media, and you know you can't win the propaganda war against the Israelis over American media. But what you can win is that you have general good perceptions arising of you, of your status as a victim of Israel. And Israel is constantly overdoing its attacks against you. Why not let it go? I would let it go. You know, I'm a man of vengeance, but sometimes vengeance is a dish served cold. And if I was Iran, I would let hate grow in my heart. I would let it foment. Evil poison just grudging my heart. Just like my poison balls in my 3D universe. Half circle. Arkenman says, Iran should at least assassinate Netanyahu or Gvir. Well, I mean, those things are very hard to pull. Those are specialist operations. They could. That would be something they can do. And, you know, I don't think that the U.S. population would care, especially if it's a military leader and not a political one like Veer. I know that he's political, but he's largely perceived as the pusher of everything against Gaza. But it's very hard to pull. I mean, I don't know that Iran has those spy capacities within Israel. DK Shadow says they can't just let it go. There are internal forces inside Iran that will see that as weakness and pounce. Yeah, but maybe I don't know much about the Iranian society. Maybe they have to, but it's always been underwhelming. Like, you see these big announcements from the Ayatollahs, and it's like a salvo of little missiles. 95% of them get intercepted in the sky. Those that land, they land in chaotic places. Never been really impressed by Iran. I've always been having high expectation. Iran is like some of my exes. I wanted them to perform, but they weren't. They were just making trouble all the time. Dino Lugovic says, Iran should accept all of the Israelis into Iran, like in the Book of Esther. I don't think that's a viable option for the future. Let's see some cackling happening here.
Good evening. Good evening, Sunny.
I'm trying to smile as hard as Kamala, let me tell you. Tim Walz, based on open sources, Tim Walz, the potential next vice president of the United States, taught English for a year in China, spent his honeymoon in China, ran a business that took students to China, and traveled to China every year until 2003, and speaks a bit Chinese. Apparently, he fueled the BLM riots in 2020. While rioters looted and wrecked Minneapolis, did not deploy the National Guard to avoid angering his base. While crime dropped nationally, Minneapolis went up. Changed Minnesota state flag to resemble Somalia's. Killed old people with COVID nursing home scandal. Waltz shut down schools, churches, and businesses as part of the COVID crisis. Waltz oversaw the largest COVID fraud scheme in the country with more than $250 million stolen. Walt squandered a $17.6 billion budget surplus, raised taxes. Minnesotans have been fleeing the state. Minnesota is a groomer-friendly LGBTQIA plus sanctuary state. He's been pushing youth trans surgery, hormone therapy. Okay, I didn't need to be convinced that hard. This is our guy. We need this guy at the head of the US. It's going to be a shit show. If we're going through the cackling, we might as well do it with a guy like this who knows about accelerating the current direction of the US toward the left. Kamala can't win. Megan Thee Stallion can twerk all she wants, but Kamala Harris remains the weakest Democratic presidential candidate since Walter Mondale. This race is Trump's to lose. Kamala has no shot at legitimately winning the 2024 presidential election. I don't know. It's very tight. I'm looking at the surveys. I'm looking at around the excitement around Kamala. Now, you're going to tell me, Jeff, there's no excitement around, there's no genuine excitement around Kamala. It's all a bunch of very activist Democrats on social media just pushing their new candidate. Yes, it is. But they are enthusiasts. You can't deny this. They think it's going to be insane. We're going to have the first true president woman. That is a big thing to leftists, you know. They haven't quite digested the Hillary Clinton denial, the glass ceiling. And for them to put a black, because they consider her black, a black woman of color as a president, it's something that evokes a lot in the leftist mind. So they will be certainly on... Their machine will be at their best. And I was sure that Trump had very good chances back in the Joe Biden days. Now I think the race has gotten tighter. I still think it's very possible for Trump to win. But it's not in the pocket at all. Stephen Robinson says they don't even care that democracy was subverted to get Kamala in the race. Oh yeah, they don't care. They don't care. They will just blindly go with the candidate that was declared, and you see them suddenly express all sorts of enthusiasm. Richard Spencer says, important thread on the Kremlin and Israel asset, Tommy Robinson. I had a look at the thread. It's all interesting stuff. I didn't know that Tommy Robinson had gone into Russia. Okay, it's interesting. I didn't know that he has such a long criminal history. Serving 4 prison terms between 2005 and 2019. He used several pseudonyms to hide his criminal past, finally sticking to Tommy Robinson. I have a very low opinion of Tommy Robinson. I think he's a guy who has anger issues, basically, and he's really typical of these low-class white criminal people who can't help it. It's like they can't help but commit crimes, and he's always cheating, and his real name is Stefan Yaxley Lennon. DK Shadow says Fed Spencer has to throw in Russia. Yeah, it sounds very weird how Russia was brought, because okay, he's a Russian and Israeli asset. Well, okay, So Russia and Israel are allies now? I had not been informed. Okay, it's kind of weird. That's why I didn't retweet the thread. I don't think it's very powerful on the Russian side. It's like, oh, he went into Russia. Oh, and he did an interview with RT. It's like, my friend Coach Red Pill did an interview with RT. You know, RT, Russia Today, before they got banned and everything, and they got banned and they lost their license in the UK for being an organ of propaganda of the Kremlin. You know, before that, they were pushing for a media that would be open to cognitive difference. And they had a whole era of their realizations where they were inviting pretty much any original thinker to talk. So to me, you're not a Russian asset if you were on RT. You are just an original thinker. There was a moment where RT was legitimate, just going alternative TV, and it was good stuff. And they invited Coach Red Pill as part of this. Elon Musk is going to wire an open letter to advertisers. He says, "We tried peace for 2 years. Now it is war." An open letter to advertisers by Linda Yaccarino, 20 million impressions. "Every day, hundreds of millions of people come to X to be part of the only global real-time conversation. They come to share their..." By the way, have you guys been on Facebook? It's unusable. Absolutely unusable. These poor boomers are stuck in there. Come to Twitter. It's unusable. You can't follow news on Facebook. It comes with all sorts of advertisements and things come into your feed. It's absolutely ridiculous. Dino Logovic sends a super chat. He says, "Does this map explain the 20th century and the Ukraine war?" He sends me a map. The Pale of Settlement. The Pale of Settlement was a western region of the Russian Empire with varying borders that existed from 1791 to 1917, in which permanent residency by Jews was allowed and beyond which Jewish residency, permanent or temporary, was mostly forbidden. Yes, that is a very important aspect. The Jews somehow, before being known for founding Israel and living in all sorts of nations, there are a lot of Jews that were in the Western Soviet Empire. And during World War II, basically, many of these Jews have joined the war effort. Many of these Jews have fled the war. In World War II, there was these Jews. They advanced. Some of them became part of, you know, battalions of hundreds of thousands of people that the Soviet Empire sent toward the West to fight the Nazis. It's very weird when you think, when you see the Western interpretation of World War II and the whole idea that Jews were oppressed by Hitler and America came in and stopped the oppression. And Jews moved to America to become the intelligentsia. It's so weird. It's so weird because the Jews don't start in Germany. There was a massive part of the Jewish population that was that much to the West. So Germany progressed to the East with Hitler's conquest plans. The Russian Empire pushed to the West, sent many Jewish soldiers. So the Jews, they had Hitler surrounded on all sides. And I'm just laying out my understanding of it all, and it's a very superficial understanding. But, you know, when you have all these Tim Pool employees who say, "Oh, yeah, I'm a Jewish from Poland. I'm Jewish. I'm a Jew from ancestors that were in Poland." That's why. It's because the Jews, the white Slavic Jews, basically, that's another category that we don't often talk about. We talk about Ashkenazi Jews. There are a lot of Polish Jews that moved a lot during World War II. And combined with this, there was kind of a getting out of the Soviet Empire. There was kind of a getting out in of an empire that was crippled by communism. Rodi Lacid says that was why Germany did what he did, because he saw what Jews did in Russia and he saw that they were starting to create problems in Germany and wanted to stop it. Yes, there is so much about World War II that is not taught and not learned properly. It's so sad because here I see a complex story. And we never get told that complex story. Gosparovsky says, hey, Jeff, the show that leftists are providing to us, trying to defend this XY chromosome boxer against a female, is making me glad to not be on the other side. Hey, are they less Judeophile, though? I don't know. What side am I supposed to be in? Well, I don't know. Are you asking as a Jew? Are there Jews below the plank boards? I don't know. Why do you care who's most Judeophile? I mean, I think the whole LGBT stuff has been pushed by left-wing Jews of the academia. I think that what we're seeing right now is the rise of the Jewish conservative, you know, in libs of TikTok and these kosher center-right people. So, who knows? Maybe the Jews have positioned themselves across the trans issue on all sides. So does it really matter in the end? In the end, do you want to see an XY male just dunking onto a woman in boxing? Personally, I'm in for the show. So that determines your... I'm just kidding. I'm against XY males in female sports. But I can enjoy the fact that females are the ones who have voted this society to the left, and that the price to pay for it is to literally get punched in the face until they're knocked out on the ground. I can appreciate the irony here. So let's continue through the Linda Yaccarino letter. The power of this community is to bring global conversations to life was the reason I was so excited to join X as CEO. After a career in media and advertising, I thought I had seen everything, but then I read the U.S. House of Representatives Judiciary Committee's report entitled GARM, Global Alliance for Responsible Media Harm. The report disclosed that their investigation had found evidence of an illegal boycott against many companies, including X. As their report found, evidence obtained by the committee shows that GARM and its members directly organized boycotts and used other indirect tactics to target disfavored platforms, content creators, and news organizations in an effort to demonetize and, in effect, limit certain choices for consumers. Very weird case, but very important. Linda publishing a video also about it. So the question at play is, do you have the freedom as a company to decide who you do business with as part of your advertising? And I would argue that since we stopped allowing companies to do whatever they want and we started holding companies to the standard of anti-discrimination lawsuits, which I'm not for anti-discrimination laws, but if we're going to be in a society with anti-discrimination laws, if you're going to force me, because if you're going to force my show to be listenable by black people, homosexuals, and Jews, I want to force companies to do business with me too. And so the free market lens of this is to be abandoned. It's war. It's war. They will force you to do business with them. If you're a cake baker, they will force you to make the gay cake. If you're a streamer, they will force you to welcome Jews in your regular chat. If you're a restaurant owner, they will force you to have black people come in, even if you know that even if you have reasons to believe they will steal from you, they won't pay their bills, you have to serve them still. And you have to have the white tenants, the white clients, cover for the bills that are unpaid. Even if you want to give free shrimp and it crashes you into bankruptcy. You know, all you can eat shrimps like Red Lobster, you're gonna have to go into bankruptcy before you refuse a single person asking you the seventh basket of shrimp for their family while they have paid only one all you can eat shrimp. That is the situation. We are not in a free market anymore. And if we're going to be, the libertarian position should be as follows. We wanted a free market. You didn't give it to us. You forced us to do various things. Now we're going to force you with your laws. And for that, it's super base, this Elon case. And I'm excited about it because if you can't deny portions of the population access to flows of money and services, then perhaps in the future there will be legal precedent, thanks to Elon, that you can't deny advertising money for political beliefs. And when you think about it, it makes sense. The current leftist cognitive dissonance around all this allows for a technocratic layer of jury to decide Mars, you know, the chocolate bar Mars, whether you have their money for their advertisement of their chocolate bar. And the reality is these little institutions like the GARM, they're just a bunch of coordinated Jews who are talking to each other, and their worth is nothing to society. They don't do something useful. They just coordinate an illegal boycott. Elon Musk is absolutely right on this. He's absolutely right. It is like these mafia organizations that are saying, if we don't get a little tax on each of your meals that you serve in your restaurant will go in flames. That's what's happening. So Elon wants to undo a very hurtful and harmful anti-free market mechanism of jewry that allows their control over society. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. John Drake says, I go to Philippine chicken restaurant called Jollibee. The entire staff are Filipinos. This would be illegal if it was an all-white staff. Exactly. So in a fair future, you would have equal employment rights into the Filipinos restaurant. And it doesn't matter if you're a Quebecois white and you want to serve poutine at the Filipinos restaurant. They should include a poutine item, you know. DK Shadow says, nice social media platform you have there. It would be a shame if anything happened to it. That is exactly what they've been doing. They've been doing it to Rumble. They've been doing it to Elon Musk. They've been doing it to me. They've been doing it to all right-wing creators of YouTube of my generation. So it's time that this stops. And perhaps Elon has the occasion here to do a massive advance. Listen to I Hypocrite published a Christopher Hitchens in 2009.
Give it up or give it to your deadliest enemy and pay for the rope that will choke you. This is very urgent business, ladies and gentlemen, I beseech you. Resist it while you still can, and before the right to complain is taken away from you, which will be the next thing, you will be told you can't complain because you're Islamophobic. The term is already being introduced into the culture as if it was an accusation of race hatred, for example, or bigotry, whereas it's only the objection to the preachings of a very extreme and absolutist religion. Watch out for these.
See, that was a big error of the Hitchens. Hitchens of this world, this generation of liberal, loose thinkers, they made an error. They tried reserving the right to complain against Islam. They tried to say, we have to be able to argue against ideology. And Sam Harris tried this too. So it was a big error of the secularist Jewish liberals. They tried to say, we reserve this right because it's different from bigotry. What they should have fought for all this time is the freedom to be a bigot. That is so much more simple. And they didn't want to pay the price of this. They didn't want... And ultimately, the reason they were unable to make this argument is because they're Jewish. It's because the Jew has an issue advocating for open bigotry, because the Jew knows or thinks or is paranoid about the potential that bigotry will one day turn against them. And because of this, they had to find something that you could criticize Islam with that couldn't revert against the Jews. And that turned out to be religious ideology. Isn't that the perfect, think of the world from a Jewish perspective. Isn't that the perfect place to be? The Jew has abandoned their religious text. They don't care about it that much. Certainly not a secularist like Christopher Hitchin. So he wants to develop a civilizational tool that allows a coordinated bigotry against a religious text with the argument that, oh, we're going to spare ourselves because we don't have religious texts or we don't care about proselytizing much about it. And ultimately, and James says, nah, Hitchin was honest. He was one of the only intellectuals to stand up for David Irving. No, Hitchin was great. I'm saying that Hitchin here is committing an error. That what he should have advocated for is that people must be free to be bigots. That if you're telling me that because I'm a bigot, you're going to shadow ban me, cancel me, you're going to hurt me, you're going to punch me, you are stepping over my liberty. Because I have a set of computational resources in this cranium, and they make judgment. They make probabilistic judgments, and they say these probabilistic judgments save my life on an everyday basis. And they might not save your life if you're a liberal. So we have to advocate for the freedom to judge. The freedom to judge even in packed up groups, even in categories that are imperfect, even in the face of probabilistic uncertainty. I have the right to say, this person has 13% chance of killing me. And I know that that means that I'm wrong about him 87% of the time, but I don't care. I want to change the side of the street I walk on because of that 13% chance. And you are not entitled to come to me and say, no, you have to risk your life at a 13% rate just so you can save from discrimination the 87% others that you may be wrong about. I refuse this. Black Pigeon Pill says, absolutely, and he did. Somewhat freedom of speech, must include a license to offend, JF. Yes. I mean, he's been consistent on freedom of speech, but he should have been consistent in freedom to be a bigot. And yet he's not there. He's not there yet. Ariel Suarez says, probabilistic uncertainty seems redundant. Sorry if I come across as pedantic, JF. JF, technically...
These symptoms, they're not just symptoms of surrender. Very often ecumenically offered to you by men of God in other robes, Christian and Jewish and smarmy ecumenical. These are the ones who hold open the gates for the barbarians. The barbarians never take a city till someone holds the gates open for them. And it's your own preachers who will do it for you, and your own multicultural authorities who will do it for you. Resist.
And by the way, Ariel Suarez, probabilistic uncertainty is not redundant, because a probability of 1.0 is a probability. And so you can be certain about something probabilistically, or you can be uncertain. There are two categories of probabilities. All numbers between 0 and 0.99999999999. And then there's 1.0, and it's still a probability. Boom! Okay, let's keep listening.
Sit while you can. And if you wonder what will happen if you don't, look and see how a cricket team in Middlesex in England had to change its name by force last week, because it was called and had been for years the Middlesex Crusaders. Look and see how stories about little pigs can't be taught to children in English schools anymore, lest offense be taken by the religion of peace. Resist it while you can.
One of the things that is coming up over and over again is Islamophobia. And, well, you can see the stats, you can see the numbers rising, particularly since October the 7th. Although we shouldn't fall into the trap of thinking that before October the 7th, this was all heading in the right direction. It's been far too high for far too long. Clearly, we need to just say over and over again, Islamophobia is intolerable. It can never, ever be justified. And we have to continue with a zero tolerance approach. And I think there's more we can do in government. There's certainly stuff online, which I think needs tackling much more robustly than it is at the moment.
Stuff online can be tackled robustly. This is your next vice president if Kamala Harris wins. Ah, man, they're going to try going after free speech. I think they will fail. This is Tim Walz. Is this Tim Walz? No, Keir Starmer. Okay, so it's Keir Starmer. Thank God it is only the English that are... I thought it was Tim Walz. But yeah, the English are already in deep shit on free speech. So, okay. Matt Walsh says, Europe colonized by bringing civilization to uncivilized places. What's happening now is like a reverse colonization. The third world is bringing chaos and disorder to previously civilized places. It's colonization minus all of the benefits. Yeah, I mean, it's the story of the world. It's if you leave your empire's doors open, it gets populated by people who are unfit for your empire. Elon says, what the hell is going on? This is what's happening in the UK right now. Posted racist comment on Facebook, 15 weeks of jail. Sold anti-immigration stickers, 24 months of prison. Repeatedly raped a 12-year-old girl, 180 community hours, no prison time. They have created a perfect system for the oppression of white people. If you're white in the UK, run, because look at this. A innocent girl just arrested for being white and outside.
Because they'll ask you,
So I'm guessing she may have been part of the protest, or what the fuck?
What do I say?
You don't have to say anything until you speak to your lawyer.
What do I say?
When you get to the station, you can give your name and address. That's all you need to do, and then speak to your solicitor.
So they'll tell you your rights, okay? So they'll say, do you want to see this card? And you'll say, yeah, I've got this. Alright, and this is your solicitor. Then they contact the solicitor, and then they will speak to you on the phone or in person.
I hope they will process everybody and let you out later this afternoon.
Alright, just your bearings.
Oh. Worst case would be 24 hours. I hope. They've got a lot. They probably won't. Don't have the cells.
They say she might spend 24 hours, but they have a lot on their list, so she might not do the full 24 hours. It's how the people who participated to the protest are treated. People who posted about the protest on Facebook getting arrested for the post itself. Shame on these people who are enacting this whole program of oppression onto white people. It's a bunch of white people in the police also, sometimes. Sometimes it's non-whites, but whites are participating to this disgusting system. And this is where Naberius, you know, working for the government, no problem. But if the government ends up asking you something that truly is oppressive, then you have kind of a moral duty to stop them, to stop, or at least to withdraw yourself from continuing their action. Convention visitors, here's the true impact of progressive government on Illinois and Chicago. Apparently, Illinois is one of the most progressive places. It results in fleeing population and tax base, stagnant economy and job market, expensive and broken education system, rampant crime, suffocating taxes, pension crisis ignored, massive spending on illegal immigrants, no equity, a failure by their own standards, economic policy centered on statism and doomed focus on renewable energy. Those are the symptoms to be expected in those places that veer progressive. Keith Woods has an excellent argument. I've been thinking about this, but Keith Woods has put it in a thread, and I think it's beautiful. I've been thinking exactly the same. He says, you know this argument that people do when they say, if you don't want immigrants, stop bombing their countries. I've always found this argument extremely weak. First, because it asks you to morally accept extortion. Like, well, so you're telling me I have to make decisions militarily. I have to be weak militarily because I'm afraid that there will be migrants coming from the countries I bomb. It doesn't make sense. But Keith Woods points to the fact that the migrant the idea that the migrant waves come from countries at war is absolutely inaccurate. If you eliminated the migrants from countries at war, we would still have a massive immigration problem that changes our demographics. And he says, look, the origins of migrant populations, Indian, Nigerian, Chinese, Pakistani, Zimbabwean, Ghana, Bangladesh, none of these countries are countries that are in the hot wars right now. He says the immigrants aren't coming from Gaza or Lebanon, but even if they were, why would Muslims want to join and pay taxes to a state supporting Israel's genocide in the Middle East? So it's a very weak argument that we hear by bots and by accounts that are trying to push some form of anti-war, pro-immigration stance, and it really doesn't work. The fact is, we have massive waves of migrations coming, and most of it has nothing to do with war. Nothing to do, and war would not change it. We had a Trump, Baron Trump, is a fan of the streamer Adam Ross, and so Adam Ross came and did a stream with Trump, and he gave Trump a Rolex watch, and he gave Trump even a Elon Musk car, one of these trucks of Elon Musk. And in fact, he had painted the picture of Trump with fist in the air. It was interesting to see. Now, I don't know about Adam Ross. I don't know what this new generation of streamer, what is he known for? What's his politics? I don't know. I just know he's a big streamer. And he seems to be supporting Trump. Well, that's good. Ben Stiller says it out loud. And this will be the last news item for tonight. Ben Stiller says that every Jewish boy wants to be black. That's your problem right there.
Get out and vote and donate. And she's also a historic candidate. You know, it's going to be the first woman president. And that's incredibly exciting. And, you know, she's Indian, she's black, she's everything. You can be more than one thing. It's incredible. You know, I'm Jewish and Irish. I wish I was black. Every white Jewish guy wishes he was black.
See, that is the problem. We have given control to our informational channels in Western civilization to a bunch of people who hate themselves to the point of wanting to be black. And that was the big error of Western civilization. And it was not committed by the Chinese. It wasn't committed by the Japanese. You can definitely sustain a civilization without doing this. But somehow we did it, and that really sucks. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.